The local wizards have opened my inner cornea and unveiled my inner zombie takeout. Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-Moving Cult Movie Show. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, a little bit of news. This is actually probably more appropriate for the TV show, but it's not nearly enough to go on for it. Just that Stranger Things Season 3 has been postponed until summer of next year instead of the fall. There were concerns about getting the special effects right, and there were also some possible... There were some allegations of mistreatment of some of the younger cast that needed to be examined. I had not heard. There had been allegations of verbal abuse, and also Sadie Sink, who played I can never remember the character's name, the Zoomer, the redhead girl they added. I can remember the actress's name. Can't remember the character's name. She had said she was nervous about the kiss in the last episode. That was kind of thrown in at the last minute.
Yeah,
and there were concerns that maybe she was coerced into it, but no, she clarified and said no. She didn't have a problem with it. She never protested. She was just nervous because it was her first kiss. But that led to some investigation and also some allegations of verbal abuse that I don't think turned up anything. And there were also concerns about getting the special effects in on time or getting them done right. So it's pushed back till summer, which is going to be weird for Stranger Things in the summer.
Right. Well, you know what? This summer, we have actually not had a whole lot of things to watch. So, although, wait a minute. Isn't Game of Thrones next summer too?
I think so, yeah. It's like 2019. I think it's probably coming back in around spring, summer, around the usual time. So yeah, it's going to be Game of Thrones and Stranger Things at the same time.
So this summer has been like remarkably empty of things to watch. But
yeah, I mean, I had Fully Cooley Progressive, but yeah. Most people didn't have much. Quick recommendation on Netflix, The Magicians is kind of interesting.
The Magicians?
It's a sci-fi show, but it's actually pretty good. Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 2017, The God Inside My Ear. And full disclosure on this one, we were emailed by the director, Joe Badon, some time ago, who asked us to review this one and sent us a screener copy with a link to a screener copy with a password, but that will not affect our review.
No.
We will be objective. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Fashion Style Mart Hut. Whether it's bananas or rotten meat, find the right scent for you at Fashion Style Mart Hut.
And also brought to you by Gnomes, that perfect companion piece to LSD.
Only in the Sky with Diamonds? I don't know. I'm trying to come up with something. Actually, that wasn't about LSD. Anyway.
So we begin. It's very 2001, the beginning. I have to just do it for as, you know, as it appears.
Yes.
What physically happened here, I will run down here. We begin with a pretty weird breakup. He I guess has joined a cult or something, but he's pretty much gone from her life, and she's not handling it well.
No.
She's having a full breakdown, and everybody's worried about her, but not worried enough to commit her or institutionalize her, intervene, really.
Yeah, well, commitment is a little serious, but maybe suggest that she talks to somebody, gets a little professional help.
Right. They nudge her along, but don't think about anything when she's like, you know, even telling them, I'm hearing voices Shit's getting bad, and, you know, the people are following me and all this stuff. Things, if you see in a person in real life...
Yeah.
They need more than just a little help. They need you to watch them and you know,
probably medication.
Yeah. So so she tries everything, from a shrink to, I guess, a shaman to
homeopathy to a telemarketer who gets a little too personal.
Yeah, but the telemarketer keeps calling back.
Yeah.
And it seems like he has a bit of familiarity with her that you're wondering, well, how is that possible? Her neighbor is, of course, very nosy too, but trying to, with the best intentions, but hearing a lot of weird shit and of course wondering what's going on, but not actually helpful again.
Yeah.
There are some strange things that, of course, are never really explained in this.
She hears a lot of voices from a lot of different places, and things get interesting from there, and weirder from there. She also tries ayahuasca, which is a hallucinogen.
Oh, right, right. They sent, yeah, they sent her on the vision quest, which is, of course, a horrific thing for someone in her condition. Mm-hmm. And it seems like she's just getting better. She's just over it. She's about to get on with her life again. And they all come back for her. And it leads to a...
an ending that in the last minute and a half completely... does away with everything you've been watching except for maybe 30 seconds to hint at it.
Or does it?
I saw that trip in the middle and a couple of other flashes hint at the ending.
Right. There are hints toward the ending too. Before we won't spoil it, of course, right?
We're going to do a separate video with full spoilers. It's going to be very, very short. This official episode review will be no spoilers.
Yes.
Obviously, by spoilers, we mean the twist at the end.
So we can say hilarity ensues. Yes. Now, the first hint that you see and I didn't even think about it at the time, but I put it in my notes, was who has a phone like that? I have not seen a phone like that in almost 30 years.
What was the her telephone at home. Yeah, it's a big old chunky, yes, you know, push button princess.
Yes. It is a phone that I think I had back in like the late 80s.
That is a good point. I didn't think
and I didn't think it. I mean, I just put in my notes like, what the fuck is this? Wait, what year is this? I had a phone like that almost 30 years ago. And then of course after the ending, I'm kind of like, oh.
But before we see her phone, the beginning, we see her kind of having a vision of these random images. An eclipse, right, bleeding from her ear, a shot of a little girl and then a boxer, some dolphins, a wolf, Little Red Riding Hood. Most of them come back later in the film. It's kind of an overture. It's kind of a visual overture. Yes, and then we see two guys...
No one is called by a fax anymore either.
Oh, yeah, true. And then we see two guys in bunny suits and gas masks working at this really dirty console, which I kind of figured was in her head because I had a clue about what the movie was about.
The hazmat guys, I still do not understand where they are in this.
They're in her head.
But that ending doesn't really jive with that.
The ending doesn't...
I haven't been able to figure out...
The ending doesn't really jive with anything other than the trip and a couple of other quick flashes and maybe the glowing in the church.
Well, right. But I think there's either two possibilities the ending opens up, but I guess we can't get into that
yet. We'll get into that later. There's also no dialogue until 2 minutes and 46 seconds into the movie.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
And then it kind of took me out a little bit because the first dialogue is pretty bad.
The boyfriend breaking up with her. I love that he's talking about local wizards and, of course, yes, people.
Well, you know, and it really should, you know, because, of course, I'm leery. Is this just bad dialogue or is this, you know, on purpose, you know, cursory? When he begins with the first line is, "My dear Elysia, you know, this is it, you know, kind of thing. We're done." And it's just such a weird, matter-of-fact way that I'm like, is this his idea of real dialogue? Or is something else going on here? And I guess it took the entire film to realize that, yes, there's something going on here.
See, to me, he was just a spaced-out, you know, paranoid conspiracy theorist joining a cult. So I didn't really... pay too much attention to how he was speaking.
Well, I wish they had at least given some background. You know, normally you hate it when they give too much background details, you know, when you have Basil Exposition explaining everything.
Right.
They could have at least thrown us the bone, though, of how long were they together.
Yeah.
You know, did anybody else actually meet this guy?
Oh,
because okay. The question is, was he real?
Right.
And they never answer that.
That is a good question. So I was wondering the same thing about the telemarketer.
Well, right.
Was he in her head or real?
Well, you know, I mean, the shrink says they're all in her head.
Yeah.
The gnome, the telemarketer. And if, of course, at first you're kind of like, is the shrink really someone to be trusted? He's not a very trustworthy source. But then I kind of think they all were.
And the shrink was also recommended by her doctor, who also tries to hypnotize her and says that she practices alternative medicine and recommends a homeopath.
Yeah.
That doctor needs to lose their license. But onto some more, not in terms of stepping out of the story for a minute. Love the sound design.
Yeah.
There was a great ominous hum that just kind of comes in and out of the movie.
It reminded me a lot of Trent Reznor, we just started watching the Vietnam series.
Oh, okay.
And Trent Reznor does this whole eerie soundscape throughout it too. And you're just like, holy fuck.
And it's very stylized. It's kind of the twee, quirky indie film, very Wes Anderson.
Just that opening shot too. I mean, of her image and stare was just very striking, I thought. And it was 2001 or Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer video without the clay.
But I like the Wes Anderson thing in a horror movie. It's a great contrast. And visually, it reminded me a lot of True Stories.
Right. Yes. Yes, it does. And just a lot of the people that she, runs into, it's very True Stories also. Well, they're not characters. It's right. Just... they're people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you could say they're characters because they're in a movie.
They are fictional characters in a story, but yeah, they're not designed to be characters. They're not caricatures. Right.
They're not designed to be archetypes. They're not designed to be anything. They're just, I'm just working in this, scent store, and, my mom left me kind of thing.
And True Stories was a big influence on that quirky indie film.
Yeah.
Style, so it makes sense that it kind of calls back to that. Loved the analogy of the tablecloth trick where the magician pulls out the tablecloth without disturbing anything on the table. Love the analogy to that to a bad breakup. If it's done well, or to a breakup, if it's done well, it doesn't really disturb anything. If it's done poorly by an amateur, it knocks everything onto the floor.
It's tough to get into this without going spoiling it, though.
I'm just talking. I really
only talking about the image. Okay,
the kind of physical world. I guess you want to say that. A kind really got a kick out of tarot jazz guy suddenly talking about strangling somebody. She goes on a number of bad dates after the breakup. With cliches, one guy talking about technology is getting to be the savior of everything. Another guy starts off talking about jazz and then pulls out tarot cards. And then he starts talking about strangling somebody.
And here's another tip, boys and girls. If you are on a date with someone for their first date and they talk about, killing someone.
Run.
Yeah. Do not take more of your drink. As she does in the movie.
Yes, that too.
Because you don't know if he slipped anything in it when you weren't looking, first of all. Right. And second of all, you're going to need your wits about you to survive the evening. Run.
Kind of sad to see her kind of fall for the televangelist. She's completely lost after the breakup and starting to hear things and hallucinate. And she, is on watching TV and comes across this televangelist. And she actually physically crawls off of her couch and touches the TV.
Right. And I don't know if that's the first hint of what's to come.
See, I just saw her as vulnerable and willing to fall for anything.
Or
I read this as a completely surface story, which is interesting.
I mean, I don't know if that's... But of course, you don't understand that. What that is until the ending is revealed.
Yeah, I can see now where it could have been... Yeah. Interesting statement about televangelists, and if that's the case. See, to me, my perspective on this, I was looking at it all as it's a psychotic break.
Yeah.
I was looking at it very surface. It's all just a psychotic break. And everything corresponded to that up until the ending.
I didn't understand what was really going on until the ending.
Auditory hallucinations are very common. I've had them from sleep deprivation.
True.
You know, they're nothing unusual. So it all tracks to a break.
Maybe not that vividly.
Yeah, you're not going to get them like that from sleep deprivation. But a psychotic break, very possible.
But, you know, you kind of wonder if he ever existed, her the boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah. I, given the way he was speaking, I didn't track it at the time. But yeah, it makes sense that maybe he had been from an earlier time, perhaps.
And that the break is actually more metaphysical than
yeah, yeah.
Than that. Like, that there's some part of her that just went away at this point, and now she's no longer grounded.
The part that was holding her to the real world is gone.
Yes. Yes.
It is difficult to get into that without spoiling. Loved the Freudian imagery when she's on the way to the specialist, by the way.
Oh,
we actually see pictures of Freud and like orchids and it's very Freudian imagery on the way to their therapist, which her doctor refers to as a specialist. I was wondering if what she saw during the trip, I won't get more specific, meant anything. So that's really, to me, was the only tip-off to the ending, which obviously I didn't put together until the ending.
Well, right. Are you referring to the person that just happened to be standing in the middle of her apartment?
When she's tripping and sitting in the white room.
Oh, okay.
She sees two things that make no sense. Have no connection to what's going on in the movie until we get to the ending.
Because there's the one scene where she just goes on this like episode in her apartment, and just standing in the corner of the apartment, the camera just kind of pans over it. There's nothing given to it. You see a nun.
Oh, okay. I didn't quite catch that scene, but you see a nun in the trip as well.
Yeah.
Those are the only hints. Loved the voice they gave to the gnome who was talking to her at one point. Her therapist, the specialist, tells her to, does he specifically recommend gnomes, or is he just talking about get a hobby?
Oh, he specifically says gnomes, which is why I'm like, he's not real either.
So she starts collecting these lawn gnomes. One of them starts talking to her, Mr. Stuffy Bottom, hence the title.
Mr. Stuffy Bottoms.
And then her neighbor's dog comes over and starts talking to her. Loved this sort of dissonant atonal music after her interaction with the dog. Don't want to give that away either.
Now, what she does to the dog, I saw as a pretty big hint too.
Really?
To what's going on at the end.
See, to me, that's just where she goes insane. She just goes completely crosses over into Norman Bates land.
Maybe. Or she may have already been there. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, so the ending was her fault. No, they explained the ending. She didn't do that.
If all the voices are hers.
Well, maybe she did. Maybe
they're coming to get her.
Maybe it was attributed to something else, but yeah, by the cab driver, but maybe it was her.
So when the ending was revealed, I see this as a horror movie.
Well, it is a horror movie. It's called that by the director.
From the point of view of the creature, only the creature is not aware they're the creature. I don't know if that spoils it or not, but
I don't think so.
Oh, I did that.
Okay. That actually makes me rethink the movie.
And how else would they all wound up there together?
Okay. So the voices are the other people who were involved in the incident.
Maybe, or I thought they were just her, but you know.
Oh, they were all her. Okay.
Yeah.
Getting back to the surface story.
Yes.
Loved the Church of Conspiracy Theories. After the incident with the dog, she goes to see her mother and they go to church the next day. And it's not a normal church sermon. The preacher is talking about all of these conspiracies.
Right. I mean, before when they were talking about, like, when you had the evangelist commercial on, I was starting to get worried that this was just going to be like a religious movie.
I was too. I did a little digging, a little checking on YouTube to see how to pronounce Joe Badon's last name, and found out that he's a youth pastor.
Oh, yeah.
And earlier I had skimmed through the movie and I saw The Nuns Have It. And so I was concerned that maybe it was going to have a religious message. It doesn't, fortunately. At least not like a the religion factors in, but it's not like a pro-religious message in the movie. So, you know, I was concerned about that, but yeah, so I had that same thought as you did.
Well, because, I mean, that would have been a really bad thing. It was just, Oh, she's turned to God, and that's right. It.
That's that kind of what I was expecting, so I was, you know, I'm relieved that it wasn't that.
But then, yeah, once they get to the church, and that sermon happens, I'm like, okay, there's no way she's turning to religion to solve this. If this is what's going on when she goes to church.
And so, yeah, all things considered, I did love that part. There were also four references to Little Red Riding Hood throughout the movie.
Yes. And she's got the red dress at the end.
Uh-huh. And I'm wondering how that factors in.
I do not know.
Because that had to be significant.
I mean, I guess it's the one thing that comes to mind is that, you know, who is the wolf? And how is the wolf dressed, which leads me back to...
Like the grandmother.
Who is the monster in this movie?
Oh, no. Before the grandmother, it's dressed as... Right.
Oh, the wolf dresses up as the grandmother.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. When we started this movie... I hated... When we started this review, I hated the movie. Now I need to watch it again.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Because I got to see it again. You know, now knowing what I know from the ending, I have to watch it again.
I didn't put together any of this. Oh, my God. Okay, just again, back to the surface story. She's kicked out of a music store for playing a keyboard. Now, even if she's playing it badly, you wouldn't get kicked out. I've heard plenty of people playing instruments badly in music stores. I'm a musician. I've hung out in quite a few of them. A lot of people play badly and they don't get kicked out.
I mean, she was really wailing away on those, though.
Well, maybe, yeah, maybe it was particularly loud. But it was a synthesizer, so they could have just told her to turn it down.
That's true.
Also, why do so many of her friends have connections to people who can help in various ways? Because all of these connections to, you know, the shaman and the doctor and the shrink and all of it come from her friends.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Oh, and somebody says after Dante and the fourth Red Riding, not Dante Alighieri, but someone named Dante who gives her this book that's kind of a free association thing.
Oh, yeah, so he was the shaman.
Which I need to re-examine that scene again in light of the ending, because a lot of it didn't make sense. But it might in light of the ending.
Was trying to see if she was still... Remember he said, I'm trying to see how far gone you are.
Yeah. And there's, I said free association. It's free association. It's actually more of a Rorschach test. You know, he hands her this book of photos and says, what do you think? And oh my, do you remember who the photos were of? JFK.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That tips it.
So there are people that were assassinated.
And also were around decades ago. Also, just so after this scene, her best friend in the movie says, it looks like you've gotten past it. Like you're cured.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the clock saying, or the time, and saying, there's 20 minutes left in the movie. She's not past it.
Well, of course, you're not going to have a horror movie resolved that way.
Right.
Could you imagine a horror movie ending that way? I'm like, oh... You went to therapy and you worked out the demon yourself. Good on you, kiddo.
And then
I can leave a normal life again.
And then she goes on a nice date with a guy who isn't weird, isn't crazy, or isn't problematic. And that's juxtaposed with her neighbor finding what happened to the dog.
Right. And it's actually the guy that she'd been turning away the entire...
The guy she works with. Right. Yeah. She finally goes out with him. And then we get to a reveal that I just took as she did it.
Oh, what? And
the back room in the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
I figured she had done that. Because then she's running away and she goes into this yoga class and nobody even sees her. Which suggests that it's all a hallucination.
Right. But then the reveal at the end.
And then we get to the reveal at the end, which I was just felt completely betrayed by, because it felt like this has nothing to do with... I just wasted the last hour and a half of my life because this has nothing to do with anything I just watched except for maybe 30 seconds of a trip.
You just got 2001, man.
This is how you felt at the end of 2001.
That is how I felt at the end of 2001.
But I get 2001, so you know, I understood it, so I understood the ending.
But this actually has context for 2001.
Well, yeah. Some
iffy bullshit.
There's context. You just didn't happen to pick up on this. I didn't happen to on that one. I didn't happen to pick up on this one without having it explained. I have to wonder what's up with the boxer. That's the one image we get that's never explained.
The boxer. Oh, I forgot about the boxer.
Because there's a couple images of a boxer throughout the movie. Because Little Red Riding Hood comes back. The girl is a thing, you know, comes back throughout the movie. The ear bleeding. It all pays off. Except the boxer. The wolf makes sense now in light of what you've been talking
about. And honestly, the dudes in the hazmat suit, I have not figured out yet what they were really.
They're pulling the switches in her head. Which makes even more sense if you're right.
No, it doesn't actually. It makes even less sense.
The dolphins don't really work either. I don't know what the dolphins meant, but maybe they were just thrown in because they're cute. No sequels and remakes, obviously, because the movie has a definitive ending.
I gotta watch it again as it is, man. I don't need another sequel.
Well, it's not even out yet, by the way. It's released to festivals now. The release date is DVD. Yeah, there's no release date yet. So no sequels or remakes yet. On the brains.
On the brains.
I walked in giving it a 1. Now I'm giving it a 4 just because I need to see it again, which means I think other people should see it too.
You know, I also really like the lead actress in this.
Oh yeah, the cast was really solid. I gotta credit all of them, but yeah. Linnea Gregg, the main actress, is really good.
Yeah, she's definitely the standout of this. I don't know about most of the other cats, honestly. Really solid, but I mean, they're kind of weirdos and stuff and just lunatics, it feels like. But yeah, Linnea, this Winnie Cooper quality to her, and just, I mean.
I was reminded of, if you're familiar with Garfunkel and Oates.
Oh, yes.
Kate Micucci,
yeah.
Yeah, she looks a lot like her.
That too. Yeah. William Turkarski, it was the voice of the gnome, who was probably also the actor with the most credits in this, actually. He's good too, of course.
So rating?
Oh, I'm giving this 4 as well. I probably should just give it 5, but I'll give it 4 for now until I watch it again, because there's still so much to figure out.
And what have we learned?
That Mr. Stuffy Bottoms is one bad mother.
Get your mouth.
Talking about Mr. Stuffy Bottoms.
And I learned not to listen to old modem sounds. That's it for The God Inside My Ear, and except for our little follow-up video, which will go into full spoilers.
Yeah.
Watch it if you've seen the movie, but the movie's not really out yet, so I don't know who's going to watch that video, but we're going to talk about it. If you want it spoiled, the video will be there. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a like and subscribe if you haven't. Until next time, we'll be reviewing Boa versus Python, going for some classic sci-fi.
Oh, wow.
By the way, next week will be episode 365. I don't talk about the numbers on YouTube anymore. Yeah. But it's episode 365, so as of next time, we will have one for every day of the year.
Oh, isn't that nice? Even a leap year day.
Yeah. Well, until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are.
And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Fashion Style Mart Hunt. Say that again. Sponsored by Fashion Style Mart Hunt. I can't say hut.